A $28 million emergency spending bill to help address Flint's water crisis is now headed to Governor Rick Snyder's desk for his signature. $3 million of that has been set aside to, quote, aid with utility and unpaid bills. Whether or not to pay for water they're unable to use has been such a big question for Flint residents. Their water rates are already among the highest in Michigan. Just today, residents and activists were protesting at Flint City Hall, calling for a moratorium on water bills. With us now are two women wrestling with that very dilemma, and they've each come up with a different answer. Amber Hassan has not paid her water bill since last fall. Welcome, Amber.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good to have you with us. And we have Laura McIntyre with us. Laura continues to pay. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Amber, let's start with asking, how much do you currently owe?
I currently owe $694.
And why did you make that decision to stop paying?
I spend more each month on bottled water and jugs of water than I need to pay for a water bill. I spend about $300 a month, bare minimum, for bottled water and jugs of water. My water bill is $214 a month, and that's just for us using showers and using the water to wash clothes with.
Was it a tough decision to say, I am consciously not going to pay my bill?
Oh, yes, especially being a homeowner. Because if you don't pay your water bill, they can condemn your property and they can seize your property.
Now, you haven't had anything reached out to you yet about that, right?
No, and I don't currently have a shut-off notice.
Okay.
Before I did stop paying, I was up to date. I was, you know, I was paying my water bill. Because that's one of the things, you don't want your water shut off.
Sure.
You know, consumers, you may be able to get by for a week without, you know, if it's not cold out, without consumers. You can't get by without water.
But you felt it's important to make this statement.
Definitely. It's kind of like, well, we poisoned you, but you paid for it. And even after you knew it was poison, you continued to pay for it.
All right, Laura, let me take the flip side of that coin. Why have you chosen to continue paying?
Well, I have to start off saying that I think Amber is wonderful, and I so admire your decision. I think you're so brave, and I don't want to be paying my water bill, not because it's of the financial costs that are incurred, but because as a political statement, I don't think that we should be paying for something that we shouldn't use and that we're being overcharged for. But that being said, my family is paying the water bill because out of all things considered in this water fight and with the fight against the financial emergency manager and other things that are happening in the city, there's, you know, we feel like there's only so many things that we can, you know, butt our heads up against. So in consultation with the Democracy Defense League and What Are You Fighting For, we've consulted with people. Nayira Sharif with Democracy Defense League, I've had several conversations with her about, you know, what needs to be done in order to make that protest and not pay your water bill. And if we were to do it, we would, you know, try to set up an escrow account so that there wouldn't be any legal repercussions. We do own our home as well, and we don't want, you know, anything to happen with that. And also, it's just really difficult when your water is shut off. It's very difficult to get it turned back on. It's, you know, $150 reconnect fee just to get it turned back on. So it's out of all things that we're battling with, it's just something we decided not to deal with at this particular time. And I do also have to say that in terms of establishing an escrow account so that you can do it legally, I mean, not pay your bill legally, there was no judge that would accept that. We could not find a judge to establish escrow accounts to make that, you know, kind of political statement. Nobody would agree to do that.
So, no, they won't. It's much different than if you are going against a landlord and you're saying, well, they're not meeting my needs. I'm going to put this money in this account. You right. basically have to just put the money up yourself. And if it comes down to them, you know, if they're going to come cut you off, then you have to make that choice.
Right. But, I mean, Melissa Mays and What Are You Fighting For was trying to find a judge who would be willing to work with folks to set up an escrow account, and they all refused.
I wonder if that might be changing as more and more attention is focused on the situation. But, Amber, are you setting money aside in case they do come banging
Definitely.
At your door?
Definitely. It wouldn't be smart for me not to, because at the end of the day, I do have children, and I'm going to have to make that decision. there's going to come a point where I have to make that decision, where I have to make that choice of whether I'm going to say, no, I'm not paying it, or, you know, whether I'm going to break down and pay it. That's going to come into the balance eventually. You know, me and my kids talk about it all the time. We talk about what's important, what do you value. And at the end of the day, my kids are kind of like, well, we don't use it anyway. You know, yeah. And, you know, I had to explain to them that if they cut it off, they can seize our property and things of that nature. My kids don't want to be here anymore anyway.
Mm. You know, I remember talking on this program about the issue before Dr. Mark Edwards and before Dr. Mona's reports really blew this open about the lead. That last summer, even, a Genesee County judge ordered the city of Flint to remove what were seen as unlawful charges, the high, high rates you were paying in Flint. That didn't happen. The city's been found in contempt. And I have to wonder, does it feel also like your own city is against you at times? Your laughter. Who wants that one first, Amber?
It definitely feels like they're against us. It feels like we don't, you know, our rights are just simply being ignored. We voted against the emergency manager. We got the emergency manager. The city of Flint, we voted against the switchover. We got the switchover anyways because the emergency manager decided we were going to get the switchover. I mean, it feels like we have no say-so. At this point, it's like we have a voice, but when we shout it out, it just gets lost somewhere out there. Like, you know, who's listening? And I'm glad that we get this attention right now, but I don't want it to be a 15 minutes of attention. And then in 2 months, these same people who are going to get water bottles from the fire station have nowhere to get water bottles from. Mm.
And I have to say that I don't feel like the city is against me. I feel like the city administrator, the governor of Michigan, is against the people in Flint. This is our city. We're not against, you know, and I know Amber feels
and
the
not,
same way.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say the city. Yeah. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. the powers that be. It's not
the state-appointed emergency manager. The state-appointed.
Yes. The state itself, even, MEDEC, the Environmental Protection Agency. I feel those things that are against us and that we are the city. And we keep saying no, and it keeps getting ignored. We demand FOIA requests, and they just get ignored or even laughed at. I mean, that's part of the real problem, is that we're not just, you know, being ignored. We're being mocked and laughed at for having this problem.
And we have people who have the nerve to say that, oh, it's not as bad as they're saying. When we had the first boil water advisories because it was E. coli in the water, oh, it's not that bad. When we had the TTHC in the water, oh, it's not that bad. Now we have lead in the water. We have kids who have been lead poisoned. And
Legionnaire's disease.
Legionnaire's disease. And now, you know, people dying. And people are saying, oh, well, it's really not that bad. Like, we're making it bigger than what it seems. Nobody wants to be known for being the city that that kids get lead poisoning in. Nobody wants to be known for that.
Let me ask you something back to this issue of paying or not paying a water bill. That the city has made the point, hey, we still have to pay for sewer operations. We have to pay for the water operations. And that's what, you know, that money is needed for. Where do you think the money for that should come?
Since they haven't paid back the 30% that they overcharged us, maybe it could come from there. That's just, you know, I'm no financial analyst or economist or any, you know, I don't pretend to be. But I would just think that, you know, since we were overcharged 30% for a few years, how about wherever they put that money, they take it from there.
We also have a budget surplus, and I also think turning that question around and asking, well, where is this money going to come from, is part of the problem that got us into this situation in the first place. This whole focus on austerity and tightening belts and budgets mm-hmm. and making people pay for things, this is a public health issue. When you have people with Legionnaire's disease, it's not like it's going to stay within the boundary of Flint, too. I mean, it's like getting typhoid or the plague. You know, you can't have your infrastructure deteriorate to the point where it, you know, becomes a life or death matter. So this is something, we're actually talking about the commons. We're talking about what everybody needs to contribute to, and not, you know, on a state level, a neighborhood level, a city level, a state level, a country level. This is just something that needs to be taken care of. So the issue of where the money is going to come from, I think, is like a a diversionary tactic. I mean, it definitely has to come from somewhere, but we also need to look at, you know, the tax structure and how the state budget is financed. And you know, like Amber, I'm not an expert in those areas, but I do know that with Governor Snyder's you know, financial management of the city, all of our public services have deteriorated to the point where they're no longer functioning. The Detroit Public Schools are an example of this. Flint isn't the only one with the water infrastructure in this condition. And this is just tip of the iceberg. This is just the
Buena
tip of the iceberg.
Vista as well. I know for sure Buena Vista, they found the TPHC in their water. And also going along with that, I don't think you asked the victim, how are we going to pay for this? I don't think somebody, you know, steals your car and then asks you, well, how are you going to replace your car? You know, I don't think that you look towards the victims like, well, we still got to pay for this stuff, so you guys got to pay for it. And it's like we've been overpaying for stuff we can't use.
That's great. Illegally charged overpayment for things that we,
yeah.
And the money was supposed to have gone into partially into part of the infrastructure instead of paying off the debt for the city. So there's been mismanagement all around. It's not up to, you know, us necessarily to fix it, and it does have to come up from a, you know, from a higher level.
Laura McIntyre and Amber Hassan of Flint, it was great to meet you, and we want to thank you so much for being very frank and sharing your stories with us. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.